Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Like we talked about, today is Holy Trinity Sunday. It's the last Sunday in the high season of the church year. Now, how many of you know? Just a little quick pop quiz here. Is Trinity a biblical word? Is Trinity a biblical word? You would think it is, but it's not. That is to say, nowhere in Scripture do you find the word Trinity. You don't find that there. However, that teaching, that truth that God is three in one, three persons like we talked about, is seen and expressed all throughout Scripture. Now, Deuteronomy 6:4 is where the Jewish prayer called the Shema begins with. And it starts, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Now, this section of the Shema, according to the Jewish Virtual Library, consists of an affirmation of belief in God's unity and in his sovereignty over the world and an unconditional love of God. So says the library. Now, that idea of God as one, that's what separated the Jewish God from all others around it in ancient times. It's where we get our understanding that God is not made up of multiple deities or that different gods need to be worshipped for different things. No, this phrase, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," sets a clear view of the God of heaven as distinct and unique. He is one over all. And as we study Scripture, we see his unity expressed as a Trinity. So, like I talked about with the youngsters, how do we understand the mystery of the Trinity? And again, I have some other metaphors that I like to use. Helps me sort of get a handle on that mystery. And again, the Trinity is not easy. And no, I don't believe that I'll ever fully grasp the depth of its meaning, even when I see God face to face, most likely. Because even then, still, I am his created being. And again, like I said with the youngsters, none of the metaphors are anywhere near adequate. But they at least help me with giving me some understanding. So the first metaphor is a person. I am a father, I am a son, and I am a husband. I am all three of those things, but at the same time, there's only one of me. Now, again, like I said, remember, these metaphors break down. And then there's an apple, kind of like the egg. With the apple, you have the skin, the core, and the meat. All three make up one apple, and without those three parts, you don't have one whole apple. And then I also really like the one about water. It can be liquid, steam, or solid ice, and yet the structure of it, what it is, its one substance remains H2O in all three forms. So these things, they help us. They help us with the idea that the Lord our God is one, yet revealed to us as a Trinity, a three in one. Now, today, all of our worship is colored with that idea. Today, we'll use the third of the ancient creeds that define Orthodox Christianity, the Athanasian Creed. Now, that creed, along with a clarifying paragraph, is included in the bulletin for your use today. And I really encourage you to take that home with you. I'd like you to look it over. And how many times do you think I'd like you to read it this week? What? Yeah, very good. I'd like you to read it at least three times this week. Worship, we know, for us, it's not a spectator sport. You don't just sit back and observe worship in a detached manner. Worship happens as you participate, and even as I preach to you, as we devote our time and devote ourselves to deepening our relationship with God. Now, as usual, your participation in worship today also includes singing. And we just sang a somewhat unfamiliar hymn. I picked a different tune that was familiar, but the hymn itself, we haven't sung very often. And it's about the Trinity, and I want to use the framework of that hymn to help us understand a bit of today's scripture readings and to guide us into a greater appreciation of God as Trinity, as unity. So let's read together the first verse, please. O blessed Holy Trinity, divine eternal unity, O Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, this day your name be uppermost. Now that part in there about this day your name be uppermost. If you take a look at the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah was asked by God, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah replied that he would go. And what was he to go and do? Well, that's sort of what the hymn tells us. Isaiah was the one who took the name of God and sought to make it, the name of God, uppermost in the minds and the hearts of all of Israel. It was Isaiah who answered when God said the words, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Now, in these words of God, we get a clue to the Trinity. Notice the pronouns, I and us. God speaks to Isaiah as both one, I, and more than one, us. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Now, let's look back at the hymn again. Now that we have this clue, and armed with this clue, let's read together verses 2 and 3 aloud. My soul and body keep from harm. Let Satan cause me no distress, shame and wretchedness. The Father's love shield me this day. The Son's pure wisdom cheer my way. The Holy Spirit's joy and light drive from my heart the shades of night. Now, when Peter preached in the lesson from Acts today, did he sound as though he was being distressed by Satan, as we read in verse 2 of the hymn? Well, no. And why is that? Because Peter knew, as it says in verse 2, the God of heaven has extended his arm, under which Peter was kept protected as he preached. Did harm come to Peter? Yeah, later, it certainly did. Many times. But did that mean that Peter was left in shame and wretchedness, according to the hymn? Well, no. That's because it was God he was serving, like Isaiah served before him. Peter, too, was working to keep God's name as revealed in Jesus Christ as uppermost in the eyes of those who put Jesus to death on the cross. That's who Peter was preaching to. Like we said last week, that's who he knew. That's who Peter knew. That's who Peter had a relationship with. And Peter preached Christ, God's Son. He preached him as the Redeemer. Now, Isaiah, in the Old Testament lesson, preached God as Creator and the one God who is uppermost. And now, today, Peter was preaching at Pentecost. He was preaching Christ, the Redeemer, to the very people who had executed Jesus. And he was making clear, he was making abundantly clear, that the death they put Jesus to was not the end. For God had raised him up, victorious and alive, and now exalted to God's right hand. If you look at verses 32 and 33 in the lesson from Acts, it says there, God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Such a clear and remarkable statement regarding God as three persons. We see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all spoken of by Peter as God, as divine. And that the works of the apostles being seen that day in their speech was the work of God's gift to them. It was the work of the Holy Spirit in them, giving them this gift. God, the three in one, reveals himself through his works of creation, redemption, and now in this Pentecost preaching as the only giver of all good things. Okay, now let's read the last two lines of the hymns together, please. Verses 4 and 5. My Maker, hold me in your hand. O Christ forgiven, let me stand. Blessed Comforter, do not depart. With faith and love enrich my heart. Lord, bless and keep me as your own. Lord, look. By grace surrounded, set me free. Now, verse 4 in this hymn echoes the Trinity as God, the Maker, Redeemer, and our Comforter friend. And now finally, in the last part of the fifth verse, that ties us into the last two verses from the gospel lesson today, where Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. He spoke these famous words from John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Those words of Jesus speak peace and grace to us. They are the gospel, the good news of God to us. Now, that peace and grace is what we sang about in the last part of the last verse of the hymn. Lord, shine unfailing peace on me. By grace surrounded, set me free. Do we believe what we just sang? Do we believe that God, the Trinity, shines unfailing peace on me? Do we believe that we are surrounded by grace and therefore set free from fear, set free from sin? As that is true, what will your life be like later today? What will your life be like tomorrow and the next day? What will your growth in the Christian life be like? How will you live, knowing that nothing but peace and grace are yours from the Holy Trinity of heaven? God has revealed himself to us as three in one. It is a mystery that we cannot fathom, but we know it to be true. Remember the images, the metaphors we started out with, talking about the egg and a person, an apple and water. All of those things help us, but none of them is adequate to the task. None of those images or metaphors, none of those are adequate to the task of taking away our fear or of giving us peace. That peace and the removal of fear comes only from the mystery of the Trinity, as we just sang about in the hymn and as found in the words of the Athanasian Creed. Hear that peace as we repeat those words. Hear them speaking peace and freedom into your life for today and forever. Please stand now. And using the words of the Athanasian Creed, in a responsive manner, we confess our common faith.